We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now as we meditate upon another precious piece of scripture which you've given to us for the salvation of our souls. And we pray that you strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of him, and ask that you be with us and carry us through until we reach the marriage altar at the last day, prepared by you as a perfect bride for our Savior. Pray this in his name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us live by the speakerphones, and also those who will be receiving CDs of the sermons in the coming weeks. Service this morning is coming from our home here in the outskirts of beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin. We'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us here at Water of Life to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be looking this morning at verse 16. I'm going to be reading verses 15 and 16 to kind of get the contrast. And verse 15 talks about looking back, and verse 16, which we're looking at today, talks about looking ahead. The two verses, 15 and 16, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly one. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." To kind of set the stage, "Behold, the sower went forth to sow." And with these words, the Son of God began the first parable that he spoke. And he did this by taking us out into the field of a farmer. The sower in the parable is the Lord God. The seed which he sows is his word, and the field is the world. We know the parable well. There were four different types of soil. The two middle types of soil are the stony places and the thorny ground. And in explaining this parable to his disciples, the Lord put it this way, and we're in Matthew 13. "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it." The word anon means immediately. Right away, he loves that word. "Yet he hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." In other words, he's not willing to suffer. He wants the crown, but he doesn't want the cross. "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Last week in the study of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15, we looked at examples from Scripture who started out running very well, but they looked back. These people are examples of the stony ground hearers and the thorny ground hearers. In our modern terminology, we would call them hypocrites. While claiming to be the children of God, their hearts were still in this world. And when the going gets tough, they turn back. We think of the words of God in Isaiah 55, verse 2. "Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Now this morning, here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, we see people who are looking ahead. They didn't look back, they kept looking ahead. These are God's elect, who through his grace and mercy take the kingdom by force. There are obstacles that are put in their way, but they overcome these obstacles. And Jesus himself said, from the days of John the Baptist, from now till now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. There is a violence that is good, a good kind of violence. And every elect child of God has it. They overcome all the obstacles in order to get into the kingdom. And you know this is by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit working in them. We think of Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no food. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. When all the physical blessings are taken away, it doesn't affect a thing with these people. They're not living for this world. They're living for the world to come. And they rejoice in the Lord no matter what their physical condition might be. This is the result of a divinely given faith. It is a gift of God, and only God's elect have it. Just a few thoughts before we delve a little deeper into verse 16. Now, they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So, the kingdom of heaven here is talked about being a country, and it's talked about being a city. It's talked about a country because of the vastness of it. It is huge. And it's talked about being a city because it's a place of safety from the enemy outside the walls that can't get in. The intriguing part here is that God is not ashamed to be called their God, even though they're sinners and confess, "I am black," but calmly, "I've got sins, but the sins have been covered by the blood of my Savior." And the truth here, God is not ashamed to call him their God. The truth is that God will be no man's debtor. He says this, I'm in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And this is the reward of the faith of God's elect. And we've talked about reward before. You know, it's nothing that we earn. It's something that God in his love and mercy gives us. And God approved their faith so much that he was not ashamed to be called their God. Literally, that means he doesn't blush to be identified with them. It's a negative way of saying that God made a joyous acknowledgement of them as a father does to obedient children. And this is amazing when we think not only of the personal unworthiness of the patriarchs. They were fallen creatures. They were sinful. They had the same characteristics and shortcomings that you and I have. And they were, in the eyes of the world, almost nothing. They were dwelling in tents like in a strange land. And we marvel that God will condescend to not be ashamed with them about them, but to be thankful and happy to be standing beside them. This is the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. We will be a perfect bride for God's Son at the last day. He won't be ashamed, nor will we. And those who renounce the world for God's sake are not going to be losers. It's not simply God is not ashamed to be their God, but he's not ashamed to be called their God. This is a public thing. And it comes through grace. And if God is not ashamed to be called our God, how contented we should be. We should be able to say, in the words of Psalm 16, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and my cup. Thou maintainest by my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. That should be our language, no matter what our outward condition may be. How confident we should be, bragging about our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And how joyful we should be, Psalm 63, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. And then Psalm 16, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Okay, using the telescope of faith now, and in this verse, talking about God's elect who look ahead. But starting out, really, the eye of faith can look backwards too in time. Not looking backwards to what we gave up and we wish we could go back there and we finally decide to throw the crosses away and go back into Egypt. Not that kind of looking back. But faith looking back to what happened in eternity, eternity past. The time when there was no heaven and there was no earth. Way, 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 way back before then. We think of before the world was created, as Paul talks in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the opening verses. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom. I didn't come to flatter you. I didn't use flowery language that made everybody interesting and sat on the edge of their seats, but had no substance to it. I came unto you declaring unto you the testimony of God. I gave you God's word, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And talking about Christ more and learning more and more and more about Him and revealing more and more about Him, which covers from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to the end of Revelation. That's all about Christ. That's what He came to preach about. Christ and Him crucified, dying for your sin. I was with you in weakness. Paul was not a super saint that was above all of the trials and tribulations of the world. He was not. I was with you in weakness and in fear. He sometimes had a fearful heart. Every preacher knows what that means. Every child of God knows what that means. And in much trembling. I was with you in weakness, fear, much trembling. That's what he says. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The faith that you have is based on the Word of God, not on any scientific evidence or anything else that comes from man, because that can fail you. But the Word of God will not. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now he's looking, using the telescope of faith, looking backwards in time before the world was created. And talking about the mystery of God that took place back there that nobody can know unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to him. You can't see this thing with a telescope or a microscope. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. God had plans for you and for me before the world was created. And we would not know what these plans were unless the Holy Spirit told us, and he does. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, when we are carrying crosses, this is one of the things that the Holy Spirit uses to carry us through. Looking back to the fact that God had plans for us before the creation of the world. And that what is unfolding in our life right now, as hard as it may seem to be, is all controlled by the Father, and it's working for our good. And it was determined from before the foundation of the world. That takes us a long ways. The words of Jesus Christ, amazing words of Jesus Christ, in Proverbs chapter 8, beginning at verse 22, "The Lord possessed me from the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting." He didn't say I was created. He was not created. He is eternal. Jesus Christ is eternal. "I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was." Now we're going back before the creation of the world again, eternity past. "When there were no depths, I was brought forth." Doesn't say I was created. He wasn't. He was brought forth. "When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him." Now listen to this one. Jesus speaking before the foundation of the world. "Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men." The Son of God, who was actually partaking with the Father and the Holy Spirit in the creation of all things, did it with his delights focused on his elect, his bride. That's very, very comforting and important to know. So we shift the telescope back now from eternity past. And before we look into the future with a telescope of faith, we look with our human eye at certain things that are unfolding in our own lifetime on this earth. And looking right now at certain circumstances that unfolded with the patriarchs, the elect children of God who lived in Old Testament times, because we're walking the same road they did, and they walk the same road we're walking. Our experiences are common. David, anointed when you were still a shepherd, watching that little flock of your father, and your brothers passed before you one by one by one when Samuel was going to anoint the future king of Israel, but it wasn't one of them, it was you. And you were anointed to be king of Israel. But now you're being hunted like a partridge on a mountaintop, and the king of Israel wants to kill you. and it looks as if God has forsaken you, and you've given up on your own life, figuring you'll be killed. But God has not forsaken you. And you say in faith what you through the Holy Spirit have written. I'm in Psalm 139. Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, being yet unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! But it doesn't look like it, David, does it? When Saul is closing in for the kill, it doesn't look like it. But you know it's true. You're looking through the telescope of faith. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Cling to that, David. Cling to that. When I awake from the resurrection of the dead, I am still with thee. Sarah, Abraham's wife. Has God withheld you from having the child that you crave so much? Are you still childless even in your old age? Well, remember the promiser. Look to the one who made the promise. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And then in verse 11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. The son that God has promised you, you will bear, but it will be in his time. Remember that. And his time is always perfect. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown into the fiery furnace, heated seven times hotter. And why? If they had looked back, they could have returned there. The king gave them another chance. I'm going to play the orchestra, the music's going to sound, and if you will bow down and worship this image, then you'll save your skin. You can come back. The doors are opened. I'll welcome you. But if you don't, then you will be thrown into the fiery furnace, heated seven times over. And it looks as if God has forsaken them. But they're not looking back. They're looking forward. And they remember the words, and they know the words that would be spoken hundreds of years later by their Savior. Fear not them which killed the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Remember that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. And when the king calls you out of the fiery furnace and examines you, he'll find out that there wasn't one hair of your head that was singed. Not even one. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Poor, destitute widow. Has God taken away your husband from you and left you with your little son in the middle of a terrible famine? Well, fear not. Your God has a plan for you, and you will be a comfort to his people till the very end of the world. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Joseph, find yourself in a pit, being thrown there by your own brothers, and taken as a slave down into Egypt. And it looks as if God has forsaken you. That dream that you had seems so impossible to be fulfilled. And then are you thrown into prison being falsely accused? Well, your God tells you this. I'm in 2 Corinthians 4. For all things are for your sakes. And yes, it was written in the New Testament, but Joseph knew that and he believed it. All things are for your sakes. And that's even when you find yourself in the bottom of the pit. And it's even when you find yourself in prison. All things, Joseph, all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. And then looking at your brothers and sisters in the faith, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Look ahead, Joseph. Don't look back. Look ahead. While we look not at the things which are seen, but that the things which are not seen, look into eternity, Joseph, forward into eternity. For the things which are seen are only temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Little girl, seized by the Syrian raiders and taken away from father and mother and family and country. And now you find yourself a maid to Naaman's wife. Fear not. God has a plan for you. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Before he died, the one who only a short time before this had denied Christ three times looked with the eye of faith into the future. And in love, he wrote an epistle to those who would come after him. First Epistle, chapter 1, starts out this way. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Had to flee. Scattered. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. Even though you're hated in the world and you're strangers and you're scattered abroad, peace. Not the kind of peace that the world can give. You don't have that kind of peace. But the kind of peace that only God can give. A heart peace which sees the hand of God controlling everything in your life and working it for your good. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Look through the telescope of faith into future eternity and see that inheritance. It's yours. you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's ready right now. It'll be revealed in God's good time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. And all of us should be doing that. We should be greatly rejoicing in that incorruptible inheritance that we have, that's ours eternally. We should be rejoicing in that. Though now for a season, if need be. Remember those three precious words. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. When you're in heaviness, and sometimes we are, and you're carrying crosses, which sometimes we all do, remember those three words, if need be. The cross that the Heavenly Father has placed upon your back is one that you need. You need it. You may not understand why, but your Father knows. Everything He gives you is something you need. We should know that. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, fire either burns and destroys, or it purifies. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And then, when he was closer to being nailed to his own cross, he wrote this, second epistle of Peter, beginning at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Faith is precious because through faith we receive all these promises. Like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power, remember what He said? All power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He's controlling it all. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Remember those words. Exceeding great and precious promises. Look ahead. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That boggles the mind. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, which we read a short time ago. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able to do that, and He will. According to the power that worketh in us, the power of the Word and the Holy Spirit. Unto him be glory by the church, in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And then 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, beloved, now we are the sons of God. Right now, we are the sons of God. It doesn't look like it. No, it doesn't look like it. But we still are. Look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. And it's going to be seen pretty soon. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. It's going to be a perfect wedding. The bridegroom is the sinless Son of God who is standing at the marriage altar in all of his glory, which nobody has seen yet. And the bride that he has is going to be a fitting bride, because she too is going to be clothed with all his glory. A picture perfect wedding. There's never been one like this before. Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he saith unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. It doesn't get any better than that. We'll close with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the precious, precious promises that you have given us as you reveal the mystery of God's will, which he willed for us before the creation of the worlds, and which will come to pass very shortly when our Savior comes back to claim us as his bride. And we pray that in the meantime you keep our eyes ever looking forward through the telescope of faith, looking not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen, and knowing that the things which are seen are only temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal.